Yo.
We're ready to pop lock today. You know what I mean?
Doing the whoop, there it is dance from that commercial.
That's the old electric boogaloo.
What was his name? What up, Pastor Jeff?
What's happening with you, man?
It's the first Sunday in March. Y'all have a communion at the good old Baptist communion like I did?
Man, yes, sir. We had the good old Baptist eat the bread and drink the wine, Bishop.
Only thing that was missing was the white suits and the red ties. You know, we're not ready yet for that, but you know. Them brothers, they gonna step out clean in about a month. Don't let Easter Sunday.
Oh yeah.
We're gonna have to do an Easter Sunday show and have to do like an Easter Sunday suit pageant with all the brothers that drop that lime green.
Come on, sir. Come on with the long joints.
Long joints. I'm talking about the players' ball joints.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. With the gators with the eyes in
them. With the eyes on them. and tails. How is your day, man? How things go for you?
It was well, man. We cannot complain. You know, it was our first Sunday back in service. It was good to see a lot of faces I haven't seen in a while. And actually some new ones. So we were happy about that. You know what I mean? So it's good to try to get back into the swing of things.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was cool. It was cool. How was yours?
It was good, man. You know, it's always scary with our, you know, church folk, man, about these seats, boy. You know, these seats, man. These seats. That's my seat.
Right.
I'll sit here. There's one lady. I was watching her come all the way down the aisle. She was like, "Now I sit on the left side."
They will take down the rope you put up for social.
Oh, they will. Yeah. I don't care how many ropes and tape you put up. Mama go get her seat.
They bring their own scissors.
There's an anointing in that bench that she is not about to let go of.
I dare you to say something.
Right. So, Jeff, did you watch Coming to America?
Yes, I did.
Give me your take. What you got?
Well, you know, I mean, I thought it was decent. You know, I mean, obviously, I don't think it's comparable to the first one, but I thought it held its own. I thought it was. I didn't think it was as risque as the first one. I thought it was more lighthearted. You know, I loved the guest appearances.
I love how they showed love to just about every black star they could find that was available.
Here's my only thing about it. Why wouldn't they use Kevin Hart as the son? I know probably budget-wise, but I think that would have been good.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, I didn't know who this other cat was. Maybe I'm just out of the loop.
I think it's Chris Tucker's son.
Oh, okay. Well,
No, it ain't. I'm just playing.
It's not... Now you about to start a scandal. So I liked everything but the gremlin dude. I thought was unnecessary. I thought the gremlin witch doctor, whatever that was. My personal opinion is Eddie Murphy's beer gut made all his outfits look terrible. Because he had that beer gut.
He did. I mean, it was funny though when he was running to the barbershop. I think he was tired for real.
Oh yeah, yeah. He was really tired. He was like, "Stop, stand in." But I loved it. I'm with you, Jeff. It's a new day. You can't say the stuff that you used to say, you know. And honestly, here's the funny thing. I'm a preacher's kid, so I never actually saw the real Coming to America. I saw the TNT version.
Okay.
So yeah. I really thought it was sweat from a baboon's butt or whatever it was. I didn't know it was. I didn't know it was other words.
I'm a big Wesley Snipes fan, so I was very happy to see him working again.
Yeah.
I thought Tracy Morgan.
Paid him taxes. I hope he paid his taxes this time. Whatever he made. The IRS is watching this movie like a mug.
He paid his taxes with that stimulus check that just came out.
You better. Man, yeah. So I think it's all good. I'm just saying much love for a positive movie after all these slave movies and, you know, Black Lives Matter movies and everything, which are vitally important, no doubt. It's good to just see people acting the fool, looking good, you know, doing the moon stuff. Oh, here's my idea. You know, we got to do a funeral show. We've been talking about this for a while. But here's the one, my favorite part was when James Earl Jones said, "I'm about to die. Let's have my funeral now." I want to do that. If I feel like I'm about to go, put me in the casket and let me sit there while they had the service.
Man, that was hilarious.
He was like,
I'm about to die now. I'm about to die now.
But that's a novel idea. What if people had like pre-death funerals? Like grandma is 85. We know good and well she only got 3 years to go, if that. Call I Won't Complain guy. Whoever I Won't Complain guy is in your city. Whoever thinks I Won't Complain in your city, call them up. Get them flowers.
Ship is anchored.
And Jeff, get your favorite thing, the resolutions.
See, they didn't do no resolutions. It didn't do no resolutions in the. Listen, let me tell y'all something. Let me tell every pastor on. I saw a couple pastors jump on. Let me tell y'all.
Jeff had an experience this week.
Tell y'all people, they do not have to read every single resolution. I give y'all permission.
Whereas.
Listen, I mean, the resolutions is longer than the sermon. I'm like, just say, you know, 12 churches have sent resolutions. Listen, half these churches, they ain't even know the person.
Right. They the second cousin's uncle's brother.
And listen, all you got to do is send one resolution from your church. You don't got to have a secretary board. The trustee
lot committee.
It is all from the same church. We know y'all all sent the resolution. We understand it.
I love it, man. Hey, we have to have an entire show about nothing but what we hate about funerals, man. We got to make it happen. Resolutions are at the top, but I love the honor of them.
Absolutely.
Like I said before, we say at the end of every single resolution, this resolution will be placed on file. I still don't know where that file is at. And I've been there for, I've been there for 6 years and I ain't seen no file full of resolutions yet. I don't know where they're at. If somebody asked for one, I couldn't give it to them.
Listen, I've been at Progressive 1 year in April. 1 year I'll have been the pastor. And yeah. I got six resolutions up in my room because I don't know where to put them at the church yet. They just sitting there.
Burn them, suckers, up.
Might as well just throw them away.
Tatum said, limit the preacher's remarks too. Yeah, I'm tired of preachers that can't keep it under two. Got to preach the word.
Wait a minute. I know we got to go. I know we got to. It's 9:09. Yeah, we got 1 minute. I heard. Now listen. I heard the dude just said. He said, I know the remarks are supposed to be 2 minutes long. And I acknowledge it. I'm not gonna abide by it, but
I'm telling y'all now, I'm not about to be short.
Oh, Simon shook his head, Miss Anderson.
Yeah.
Oh,
that mute button is lovely, man. That mute button is lovely. You start pretending like you're having technical difficulties.
This is what you do. And I thought about this. When I'm doing a funeral, I'm going to tell the piano. You know how they have on the award shows playoff music?
Grammy music.
Just
give them the Grammy music.
The longer they talk, the louder they talk, the louder you play.
That's how it's got to be, man. But no, Coming to America, thumbs up from me. And by the way, stop all this black hate, man. Why? White people put out movies that suck all the time, and they just be acting like it's the greatest thing. Man, just let these people make their money. They employed like thousands of black people, you know.
Listen, y'all knew what was going to happen in Titanic, and it's the best-selling movie ever.
You already knew how
the movie was going to end.
All day. What's up, everybody? Jameson, love you, man. Rashad, all our regulars. Charlene, I see you, Pastor Tatum. Good to see you. Hit the like button. Hit the share button. Make sure you hit the hearts and whatever it is that your phone does. Check this out. This is a show unlike any other. We have one of the most impactful individuals of modern gospel music. And I know, you know, he's going to sit back there in the room like preachers do when they read the bio at anniversary time. They'll be sitting back listening to them read the bio. They try to keep the serious voice, you know, point of view. Yeah, bless you, Doc. Bless you, Doc. But we give honor where honor is due. If I were to give it a title, I'd say that this brother is like our own Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis of 2000s, 90s, 2000s gospel, all the way up to the present time. You're talking the kind of impact that Teddy Riley put on, you know, that New Jack Swing, that stuff. He brought that to gospel. He is the visionary of the Pajam production team that has worked with everybody from, of course, Jay Moss and the Clark sisters to Kirk Franklin to Beyonce to Cisco to watch this and the Mighty Clouds of Joy.
Karen Clark Sheer.
You show me somebody that's worked with Beyonce and the Mighty Clouds of Joy. Then you show me somebody that can do a collab with both of them. Talk about, I don't feel no ways tired because I'm bootylicious. But anyway, but this brother is going to rock it with us. We're glad to have him. I want everybody to give a big religiously incorrect welcome
to
Paul PDA Allen. Paul PDA Allen, give it up for him. You know what to do.
Woo!
What up, my man?
Look at all them rockets in the
Beyonce
background.
To the Mighty Clouds of Joy. yeah,
we
man.
Didn't lose
Mighty
yet.
Clouds of Joy to the Beyonce.
Listen, if you let the Mighty Clouds of Joy in the room with Beyonce, they're going to be Mighty Clouds of Joy, all right. They're going to have all the joy.
The joy of the Amen. Lord is
the joy of the Lord.
The joy of the Lord is my strength. Everybody.
Yes, sir.
Yes. Welcome, my friend. Welcome.
Hey, man. Thanks for having me, guys. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Yes,
Pastor Todd, Pastor Jeff, what's going on, man?
Man, we are here, man. It's Sunday night, man. How you feeling, Doc?
Man, I'm feeling fantastic, man. Fantastic. Thank you.
Wonderful. Let's jump right into it. Go ahead, Todd. Start us out, man.
Okay.
You have been at this. Paul, first of all, you've been at this for some decades now, but you know, a lot of people hear for jam. They hear the production. Yeah. I know it makes you sound old. I know they hear about the production team and all, but just tell us your story. Where you're from? How'd you come up? Just give us a little quick and dirty.
Real quick and dirty. From Detroit. That's dirty. From the hood.
That's dirty.
Yeah, man, and you know, grew up in the church. Yes, that can be dirty. yeah, man, came from the church, man, and just you know, like the kid from the inner city from church. You know, it's like storefront church. It's like our country club, right? We get to learn everything in the church. You know, so if you get to church on time, we got to play the drums or the keyboard or the organ or the guitar, bass. You got the church late. You got to play the bongos or the tambourine. That's how it was. So you know, we used to fight over the instruments, man, and fight on, you know, push our parents. Let's get to church. You know, and so we came up in that school in that day, man. So yeah, man, that's where I'm from, Detroit.
Love it. Been there life, you know, whole life. Are you from a ministry family, or did you just grow up going to church?
Well, you know what? I grew up. My family. My mom's a singer, right? And so we was always at church because they had rehearsal four times a week. She was on the usher board. She was on the, you know, the mother's board, the greeter's board. She was on everything. And so we was at church every day. You know what I'm saying? I think Mondays was the only day we had off. I think that was the only day the church was closed. So outside of that, I got some musical people in my family, on my mom's side and on my dad's side. Come to find out. Oh, this is my baby, Kendall. Say hi,
hey,
Kendall.
Hey, Kendall.
What's up?
All right.
She just turned five and she's running our lives. Huh?
Oh, that's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I got some, you know, some music family on my mom's side for the most part. My dad's side too, you know. But you know, like my partner Jay, you know, of course his family is the Moss Clark family. So
he
had no choice but to do music. So it was just, you know, our paths crossed at one point and we just rocked and rolled, man. So
love it.
Wonderful. Hey, man, so I went through a lot of your music, man, and I see that you do a lot of the tracks, especially for a lot of these quote unquote secular singers, but a lot of them are the one gospel track that they have on the album. You know,
yeah,
inspirational track.
We've done those too, man. We've done the inspirational track deal, yeah.
They literally give a tenth to their record.
One track out of ten. They tied off their CD, Doc.
Yeah,
they tied it off their
Doc.
Man. How do you feel about that, man? Just tell me how you feel about that, man. About, you know, I mean, the whole record may be gospel, but then they throw, I mean, well, rather secular.
R&B
but then
or pop or something gospel. Secular. Yeah.
Right, yeah. Yeah. How you feel about that, man?
I mean, so for the most part, whenever we did those records, we ended up doing those type of records. So if it was pop, if it was R&B. But we have gotten calls to do, you know, be that one song, right? And so you know, we just take it as like, okay, well, maybe this is a ministry moment, all right? And maybe this is a witness moment. Maybe it's an inspiration moment. Maybe we have an opportunity to be around them and let our light shine around them and, you know, and hopefully deposit something in them. So, man. Yeah. And so we didn't mind it, you know, right. We was just like, okay, whatever, you know, and then when they realized, oh, we got real tracks in that area or that, in that genre, then it was like, oh, we want that too, you know? So
yeah,
it was cool.
Right. I mean, yeah. You know, I would be listening to R. Kelly Bump and Grind, and then He Saved Me would come on. And I was just like, you know, I didn't know what to do. Yeah. I was confused. I didn't.
But you know, the deal is, man, is most of our people come from the church. It is what it is, man. You know, I used to work at a studio in Detroit on my come up, and R. Kelly, before he was R. Kelly, he was Robert, and he would come from Chicago to Detroit, and Aaliyah's manager, which was her uncle,
Never mind. We can stop the story now. You can stop this story right now.
I know, but I'm not gonna go that way. I'm not gonna go that route. I'm gonna go the other way. But look, so Robert was sleeping on the studio floor, right?
Wow.
He was sleeping on the studio floor in the studio, and he would wait for us to finish like all these other sessions and stuff so he could get free time. And so that's how he was working on his demos. But he was either sleep on the floor or he's finding somebody's church to go to in church.
Wow.
You know what I mean? And a lot of people don't know that about him, but it's like, yeah, he's a church boy. You know what I mean? And so his heart, like most people, is somewhere in their heart somewhere. He might be covered with some other stuff, but it's somewhere in there. So
Absolutely.
Do you take heat for that? Do you take heat for working with secular artists? You hear from, you know, Mother's Board,
Yeah, everybody's not called. That's how I look at it. You know, many are called, but few are chosen. We were chosen, you know? You know, it's up to us to take that opportunity and do the right thing with it. You know what I mean? Absolutely. And so that's just our thing. Everybody wasn't called to do that, you know, and God put us in that situation or chose to do that. So God put us in that situation. So we just want to make sure we uphold it as much as we could. You know what I mean?
Next time you tell him the wealth of the wicked is stored up for the righteous.
Amen. Amen, Doc. Amen. Amen.
That's the word.
Hey, I always tell people, you know, being rich is not necessarily a calling everybody's supposed to have. So it is what it is.
Come on, sir.
Right. Yeah, Paul, you talked about being on the come up, coming through the studio scene. You know, obviously, a lot of people don't see the grind that goes on before you shine, you know, before people find out who you are and what you do. Talk to us about some of them days and the breakthrough, like when you knew you had broken through, like, this is for real. I'm on the map. People know my name. What that look like?
Yeah, you know, we came up during a time where paying dues was important, right? Mm. And so paying dues, like, let me give you a quick story. So I was 15 when I realized, oh, music's going to be it. So God blessed me to have vision of what my purpose was at 15, all right? A lot of people don't say that, find it, so I know that it's special. So I'm very thankful of it. By the time I was 18, I got an internship at this guy named Michael J. Powell Studio, super producer. Anita Baker is his biggest star. All right. Chapter eight, the Gladys Knight. I could keep going. Patti LaBelle. I mean, he was just the man. And so I got an internship with him, but I got an internship with him already with knowledge of engineering, songwriting, producing, engineering, the whole nine. And so when I got the internship, I checked in one day, well, my first day, and the lady at the front desk was like, hey, how you doing? What's your name? I told her. She said, okay, great. Your assignment is to go out to the parking lot and pick up cigarette butts, you know, this and that and so forth and so on. And I was like, wait, what? And she was like, yeah, you need to go clean up the parking lot. So I was like, okay, came back in. I was like, okay, I think I cleaned up the parking lot. She was like, okay, double check, make sure you're good, and then go wash Mike's car. I said, go wash Mike's car. I got on my freshest sneakers. Right, I got on my sweet jeans. You know what I'm saying? I got on a hoodie. Like, I'm ready to go to work. I'm about, you know. And she was like, okay. So I was like, okay, so wash Mike's car. So I washed his car. Came back in. She said, okay, you're done for the day. I said, okay. See you tomorrow. The next day. That went on for like a week. So a couple weeks later, she's let me inside to actually clean the foyer. And then that went on for a week. Then I cleaned the parking lot, the foyer, then the front hallway. Okay. Then the front hallway led to like the offices area and the bathrooms. So yes, I cleaned offices, bathrooms, the hallway, the foyer, and the parking lot. The back hallway is where the music was. It was three studios back there. He was working on Nancy Wilson and, you know, the legend, you know, all kinds of people. Never got there. So the next 3 weeks, I'm only cleaning the foyer, the offices, the front hallway, the bathrooms. Finally got to the kitchen. When I got to the kitchen, he was working on Aretha Franklin. When he's working on Aretha Franklin came in the kitchen and was like, oh, excuse me, do you know if my ribs are here yet? I was like, I don't know if your ribs is here yet, Miss Franklin, but I will go check to see if your ribs is here. Right? So I went to the front desk to say, hey, Miss Franklin wanna know about her ribs, right? So I come back to the kitchen, she gone back in the studio. Doggone it. Aretha Franklin gone. She was like, clean up the kitchen, you can go. You can go. And I'm saying all this because it took 6 months for me to get to that back hallway. But what it was doing, it was prepping me to understand where I was. Wow. And so he trusted me over the parking lot, his car, his foyer, which is what part of the presentation when you first get there to the studio, right? So so anybody that's coming to the studio, the first presentation is what you see is the parking lot. What you see, oh, the Ike's car. What you see when you come into the studio, oh, this is his foyer. Oh, this is his plaques. Oh, this is his, right? And so I'm cleaning the offices and the bathroom. All the while, every time they open that back door, I'm hearing the music. But when I got to the second hallway, come on, somebody. Yes, I got to the second hallway, yes, I realized I'm getting closer. I'm getting closer to the music. I'm getting closer to where I'm supposed to be, right? But it helped me to understand the value. Because I'm about to get a wealth of education from not just Michael Powell, but the artists he's working with, the musicians, Greg Philogaines and Vernon Fales and all these, Nathan East, all these musicians and engineers that has done all these amazing things. I'm going to get a wealth of information. They wanted to make sure they could trust me.
That's it.
Right? So that's how it is with God when it comes to us. He's like, yeah, I'll give you a little bit, see how you do with it. Then I'll give you a little bit more, see what you do with it. Then we'll give you a little bit more, see what you do with it. If I can trust you, I can give you more. And that's exactly what happened, man. That jacked me up, man.
Listen right here. Next time you're going to preach, at least tell me what key you in. At least tell me you're going to E flat. Come on.
Hey, he went to second heaven, didn't he? He went to the first heaven.
He went to the first level. He was this close to in my clothes. In my before I take my seat.
Yeah, man.
God, it's good. It's good. It doesn't matter what the industry is. It doesn't matter if it's business, music, sports, and preaching, music ministry. Yeah. This theme of paying your dues.
Yes, sir.
And a generation that does not think they need to pay their dues. And and you know, then we turn into that guy because we're young ones. You know, we were young once. Yeah. Now we are that guy that's telling the young buck, yo, you gotta. Yeah. But honestly, the technology of today, you got people, you know, pumping records out of basements, YouTube, sampling, you know. Where do you see that difference? Let's just throw it at you, you know, because you got your time in, but you also know that. Where do you see that with people that's like, look, I got a sound, I'm on. What? I don't need to sweep no floors.
And see, the problem is that they think they own and they're not on. It's still a big giant step between this level and then the real level. You know, there's a lot of rappers all over the world, right? But only certain ones, the Drakes, the Lil Waynes, the Nicki Minaj's, the now Cardi B's, they don't realize those people still got stories too. So why are you thinking that it's just going to pop off for you? The real ones, the big ones, the ones that's a household name, right? They pay dues. So there's no way to get around the paying dues piece. You know what I mean? But in terms of technology, I think the technology today is amazing. I think it's awesome. Me and Jay did a song right on the iPhone. I did a track just to prove a point to one of these young guys. You know, we got young producers coming up and they be like, yeah, I did this track in 5 minutes. I said, well, I'm going to do it in 3. And I did it on my phone. And I sent it to Jay, sent me a vocal idea back and we was done. And it was like, oh, oops. Sorry.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, you know, we just, because we know more, we're able to get more out of it. Right. And so what I always do with our young people is just challenge them, push more, go more. Don't just take a loop and use the same loop. 10 other producers around the country is using it the same way. Flip it. You know, try to change the chord structure. Try to change the key, you know, eat something to make it a little bit different, because soon as somebody else get a song placed with that same package you bought, drums kit you bought, now you can't use that no more. Now what you going to do? Go back, try to find another, you know, so it's you know, so it's a teaching game for us. Me and Jay, we try to pour into as many people as we possibly can. And just like, hey, we embrace technology, but some other stuff you got to get to go along with technology. That'll separate you to have longevity. A lot of the younger ones want to just jump on and be on quick, but they don't realize it's a quick dip. Once they realize you're a one-trick pony, you can't do nothing else. Now you're stuck. You know what I mean? And so Jay and I have been, you know, blessed to be versatile. Right? You know, where Teddy was big on, or Timbaland, big on beats and things of that nature. Facing them was big on certain core things. We were big on versatility. You know, being able to go pop, R&B, Christian, pop, movies, TV, commercials. You know, God's been, you know, God hooked it up that way. We just
love it.
Yeah.
You know, you talked about the big name rappers. It's funny because we was just talking about Coming to America, and that was really Rick Ross's house.
Right.
That was really Rick Ross's house. Yeah, house, man.
You know, that's for real.
Yeah.
My question is, you know, I think now gospel music has took a new direction. I don't think all the way as far as, but there, you know, I don't think back in you know, the 80s, maybe even in the early 90s, you know, we could have got away with it. He turned it in church. they might have turned you around and told you to, you know, put those drums down and go somewhere and sit down somewhere.
Exactly. But
you know, with people, for me, Kirk Franklin is the GOAT. I think Kirk Franklin is the GOAT. I think the man. But you know, some of these songs are so close to R&B, so close to, you know, love ballads, almost.
Right.
You know, and a lot of them aren't even lyrical. They're repetitive over and over again.
Yeah.
How do you think the game has changed in gospel music? And do you think it's for the better, or is it just different and it's just for a new generation?
Okay. I'm concerned about gospel music. Mm-hmm. Because, again, we're allowing the monkey see, monkey do era to flip over into gospel. And so everybody's just trying to do the same thing. And so you don't have that depth, substance, things of that nature as much as we used to have. And so that's the thing that I think this generation misunderstand. In the 70s, it was important for us to move on from Hawkins. In the 80s, it was important for us to move on from the Winans. You know, in the 90s, it was important for us to move on. It's important for it to continue to evolve and get bigger. But that's because the Hawkins passed it down. And when the Winans passed it over, and the Commission and Fred and Israel. And I mean, dude, if you nowadays, you can't name five artists that sounds different.
That's it.
You can't.
Yeah.
So if you say Fred, Kirk Franklin, Yolanda Adams, Mary, and you can name 10 more artists to go right here. Kirk Carr, Byron Cage, Jay Moss, Dietrich Haddon, the Dawkins and Dawkins Minister. We could keep going. Tony, we could keep going. And we all know what they look like. We all can identify them. Like, not just hearing them, knowing the difference, but we also could see them and know the difference. If you ask 10 people in your neighborhood right now, I don't care where you live, who is this person or that person in today's gospel game? That's why when the inauguration happened a few weeks ago, who'd they call? Yolanda Adams. That's all right.
That's it.
When they do the Stellas every year, they keep calling Kirk Franklin because they're like, well, don't nobody know the rest of these faces yet. So we got to keep pushing Kirk. We got to keep pushing. You know what I'm saying? And so it's just, you know, I'm concerned because we don't have the opportunity. Should I say the gospel industry is not getting the opportunities to the right people, I think. And so we're stagnant and stuck right now. We got to do a whole lot of stuff to rattle and shake that boy to wake it up,
man.
You know, and so going back to
Go ahead. No, go ahead. Keep going.
No. Go ahead. I got you.
No, I'm saying what you had to say about the vanilla flavored, you know, everybody is pushing the same flavor, and then there's no there's no recognition of these artists. My church, Jeff knows this, in our hometown, we started putting on a big concert once a year. It was a fundraiser. We bringing in Marvin Sapp, you know, we bringing in. After a while, though, I'm trying to mention names to my congregation. We're an older Baptist church, but they'll support. They're like, who is this boy? Who? Who? And if you got to start, now you have to start naming by the one song everybody know that gets played out like crazy. And I don't want to say no names. I'll be like, you know, da-da-da dude. And they'll be like, oh, him. Yeah. Then they'll be like, well, what else is he saying? Okay. He can't sing da-da-da for 2 hours. He can't
sing da-da-da for 2 hours. And again, see that, and that puts these artists in a bad place, because now everything is starting to be so mediocre because they only got one hit, but they got to do an hour. So what you going to do for an hour? You know, what you going to do for 2 hours?
Want Kirk money. They want Kirk prestige, and they want Israel prestige, and can't give me an Israel show.
They can't do it because they don't know no better.
Well, they just worship. They just worship for 45 minutes. They sing one song. And
they got to prophesy for the first 10 minutes.
They start prophesying.
Exactly.
I didn't pay you to prophesy.
I didn't pay you to prophesy.
I'd have called Benny Hinn's over here. But with prophesy.
Oh, my Lord. Benny Hinn's. He owes something. But, yeah, I get it, man. I get it. It's the truth. It's
Speaking of that sound, man.
Yeah.
Speaking of that sound, you brought a sound. Pajam brought a sound. I mean, I was on Winans Phase 2. I was on, you know, J Moss when he was dropping Minna Standard. It was that's teenage for me, you know, late 90s. I'm 38. Yeah. That's late 90s. And it's, first of all, it's inspirational as a young fella who's trying to stay out of, you know, of course, you're still rocking Biggie and all this other stuff, but you're trying to be safe too. So you need something that you can ride with. But on the other hand is, you found a sound, and everybody thinks they have a sound that's going to take off. What did you hear or not hear that you felt like, you know what, I can offer this to the gospel music world, the gospel music industry? Of course, I know you were starting off in gospel. What did you like? Say, this is what I can offer. What's your sound?
Well, the one thing, again, we teach is, like, you got to study and you got to pay attention to other people. You know, we came up at the same time as Timbaland, Rodney Jerkins, Warren Campbell, you know, like that. And Aaron Lindsay, you know, I got to give some love to him. Ace of War, got to give some love. Kevin Bond, I got to give, you know. But the thing that we did back then was, what is he doing? Okay, I can't do that. So let me do this, this, and this. Okay, what is Rodney doing? Okay, Rodney's doing this swing thing. Okay, let's not swing so hard. Let's swing it a different way. So it was, again, the vision of, hey, man, we got to be ourselves in whatever we do. And so we went heavily on the pen. We went heavily on vocal arranging and sound and trying to do some different sounds together and then making sure that the beat was relevant. So we didn't always listen to gospel. We listened to what Tim and Ted and all of them was doing. We listened to it, you know, Swiss Beats and Just Blaze and all of them. And Mario Winans, he and I was together probably 5 years before I started with Jay. And so it was just a different mindset of just making sure we stay relevant, but translating it in our own sense. And so we sampled back then. So, you know, people like, sampling is new. Sample is not new. We've been doing sampling for a long time. It's just that how you sample and the way you sample and how you flip it and how you use it. You know, it's important to create your own identity and stay relevant, stay punchy, you know, make sure your drums is banging. So if somebody's listening to JLB and they happen to flip over to a gospel station, our heart was that they don't lose nothing. So quality wise, people were like, let's raise the quality and the sound so that it matched, you know, that kind of thing. I remember I had I was the youth pastor over at a church called Straight Gate in Detroit. And the first time Lecrae was in Detroit at a black church was that we invited him to come. And when I met him, he was like, wait, are you Pastor Pete, but are you the PDA, like PDA, PDA? And I was like, yeah, you know, but I'm, you know, you pastor right now, you know, just call me Pastor. He was like, no, let me tell you something. He gave me a story about how he came out of the world. And he said, man, so much of your guys' music didn't lose nothing when I switched over. People say, listen to this, listen to that. And so much matched. And he was like, he never heard that before. And it helped push him over into the Christian world. So, wow, yeah, man.
But what you said about not losing, go ahead, Jeff.
I was just going to say, you know, you and Jay Moss and your crew, y'all been rolling together for a while, man. And, Pastor Todd and I was together for quite a few years together. And, you know, we bumped heads a little bit, not very much because not very much. You know, Todd know everything. So
Jeff from Youngstown, a killer. He'll kill somebody. He'll shoot a preacher. That's what.
Just
shoot a preacher.
How much did y'all have a lot of creative conflict, or was there any creative conflict between you guys? Did you guys had to work out?
So, creative conflict. Okay, so yeah, a little bit.
Okay,
but the thing we noticed early is who was stronger in what. And so we allowed that to be the balance, right? And so, yeah, I write, but I'm more of the music and the beat maker of the whole thing. And so I was like, look, I'm strong on seeing the vision. I'm strong on and he's good on glossing it with the vocal idea, melody idea, penmanship. And so we just evolved that, because that worked the best for us, right? And so, yeah, I'll do all songs all myself. He'll do all songs, himself. But it's the stuff that was successful and has been successful, has been proven, is the stuff we just was like, look, this what you do is what I do. And then we evolved that. And that's how it became the Pajam Sound.
Wow.
So, that's awesome. Yeah. So did it take long? No, it didn't take long. And the reason I hesitated is because he and I started working together doing commercials, but I was doing commercials for this company before him, and I brought him in and they had him do commercials, but he swears to God that they didn't like his commercials more than my commercials. So musically, so they was like, man, they fired me because of you. And and I was like, well, let's do one together. And when we did it together, the rest is history. But yeah, so yeah.
Wonderful. Speaking of conflict, Jeff talked about internal conflict. Did you ever have like external conflict, like East Coast, West Coast beef, like with another gospel, like, jamming for your soul, going at it or something, like.
Dude, I'm not going to name who it was, but all you people, young people or anybody, if you don't have haters, bro, you ain't doing enough. We had haters that we would be, and we were working on Brandy. And one of the producers on Brandy said, who gave you that? Said to Brandy, who gave you that song? That's Pajam. And he was like, oh, they got hotter stuff than that. They playing you.
Wow.
He was like,
wow.
They were like, what? So Brandy had a little attitude like, yo, is this y'all hottest stuff, or are y'all kind of treating me, y'all shady, being shady towards me? So she had a little vibe. Right now, I did say the artist, but I ain't gonna say the producer name because we cool now. Dude, he was a major dude, major player. We was just like, did he really just throw shade, dude? You own a record already. We try to get on the record,
right?
And he was just like, yo, So it happens all the time, man. The same thing in gospel. When we was first doing Karen Clark Shears record, I'll say this, and I don't care. BB called me. BB Whitest was trying to block us from getting on Karen Clark Shears' first record. But to his defense, to his defense, though, he was just being possessive. The Clark's Whiners grew up together. We were the little new kids on the block. So he was just like, this is an important record for Karen. I don't think I don't know if you guys should take a chance on, these new guys like this. I know little Jimmy's grown now. And, I wrote a song with Paul on the Clark Sisters' record. But I don't know if you want to chance it. This is an important record for Karen Clark Shear. And so a guy named Stanley Brown was like, look, they got, it's not just one record. They got like half the record. They're going to do half the record. And he was panicking because he was the A&R guy at the time. He panicked a little bit, but thank God that, you know, God didn't let him, you know, stay in place in the blocking situation because the record went on to do great. So
how y'all, how y'all settle these beefs? You be like, meet me in the fellowship hall so we can settle this.
I mean, sometimes you just have words, man. Sometimes you just gotta have words, man. Sometimes you just gotta have words. We were in the middle of a recording a project, and we had it was a choir project, and it was like so and so and his choir. So you know, and so we're in the studio, and the A&R guy and our manager were beefing. He came in the studio while we were recording and blew out all the candles in the studio. We like candles in the studio. That's our thing, you know, vibe, atmosphere, and the whole nine. He blew out all the candles. By the time he got to the last candle, we kind of knew what that meant. Me and Jake Pack stopped it, told our engineer, back it up, and we was in the car gone.
Wow.
Wow.
Just like that. Wow. And then so the artist is standing there like almost in the dark, like, wait, what just happened? Right? And so come to find out, man, when we got back to the hotel, because we don't never talk about it in the midst of it, our manager and the A&R guy was beefing because the dude didn't want to pay.
Wow. Wow.
It's crazy. It's crazy, man. So sometimes you just have beefs and you either squash it or you don't.
Yeah. Well, you do that to quartet groups, man. They reach for that guitar case, man. You better start running. I'm telling you right now.
Listen, man. I want y'all to ask me. I know you're asking me about other stuff, but I want y'all to ask me about a Mighty Clouds of Joy session. I just want you, at some point in this interview, I want y'all to ask me about the Mighty Clouds of Joy.
This is what we're going to do. I want you to get all your details together. We do have a sponsor we want to recognize because we celebrate black business to sponsor us. So after this commercial break, PDA is going to tell us
about
Mighty Clouds of Joy.
Y'all, thank you for joining Religiously Incorrect Podcast. I'm Pastor Todd, my main man, Pastor Jeff. We're just pausing the station identification. Be sure to like and share this. We're on YouTube. We're on Facebook. And make sure you follow us as well. IG, Facebook, YouTube, and all that jazz. You know what to do. We want to celebrate our sponsor because he's a personal friend of mine. We grew up together, and the brother is doing big things in the region. Phillips Care Cleaning. He runs residential, commercial cleaning, everything you can think of, from carpets to landscaping to snow plowing. And I know, because our church contracts with him and he does a wonderful job. Phillips Care LLC, you can check him out or visit PhillipsCareLLC.com. His name is Fernando. If you live in Northeast Ohio, you already know who I'm talking about. We are glad that he is a proud sponsor of Religiously Incorrect Podcast. And he is also helping to support us. We are going to be doing a couple t-shirt giveaways here. I don't know how we're going to pick the winners, but shout out to Charlene and Mark who got theirs last time. And the very sweet note, Lady Charlene, that you sent to us. We appreciate it very much. So y'all don't forget, Phillips Care Cleaning. Y'all know how I am. I'm the Malcolm X of the group. Jeff is the Martin Luther King. Y'all support Black-owned businesses because we didn't land on Plymouth Rock. Plymouth Rock landed on us. So now we need to buy Plymouth Rock so we can own that joint and paint it black. Y'all know how I am. So anyway, I want to hear this story about you. We talked about the variety of people you've worked with, from Beyonce to Brandy to Jay Moss, but you've also done the great Mighty Clouds. Talk to us about your experience with them. Give it to us.
First of all, man, we did Shirley Caesar. She almost here about this interview be mad that we mentioned Mighty Clouds and didn't mention herself.
And didn't mention her. Right.
So these people crazy. So so we're in the studio with the Mighty Clouds of Joy. And Joe Lagun and them, those guys, you know, God rest his soul. These guys were like so cool and like, whatever you want to do, guys, whatever, it's cool. We all know our parts. We're going to go in and do what we can do. We're going to give you the best we can give you. But, you know, don't look for nothing special because our magic comes from being together. Whatever. In the midst of Joe Lagun's vamp, I mean, he's singing a fool out this song. He stops and says, wait, hold up. I need some more drink, one. Then he said, okay, all right. And while I'm waiting on that, this is in the middle. It's like a light bulb came on and he was like, Jay, how's your mama doing? I said, did you just stop in the middle of recording a lead vocal Vamp and say, "How's your mama doing?
How's your mama doing?"
He said, "Wait a minute." He said, "Wait a minute. Essie, that was my girl. That was my back in the day." I said, "Now you know this Essie son. This is baby. This her baby boy right here." He like, "Yeah, yeah. I almost could have been your daddy."
No.
Listen to me. I looked over at Jay. I'm looking at Jay like, what is he about to say?
It's over.
Was like, he was like, "Look, back in the day, I heard my mama and my daddy was rolling. So it is what it is."
Right.
And we laughed for about 36 minutes, man, in that studio. Every blue moon, we get a chance to tell a little bit of that story, and then we laugh for all the same amount of time every single time. He just stopped. Hey, Jay. Yeah, we actually called him Jimmy. "Hey, Jimmy, how's your mama doing?" I'm like, "Bro, is there some kind of story? Is this your?" It was crazy.
Right here. This is the RIP classic.
This is straight classic
story.
One for the books. Oh, here,
man.
Uncomfortable person talk about somebody. I got one that will go unnamed in our area. They keep talking about how he could have been in my family because he dated his wife be right there. I'm like, okay, you didn't marry my cousin 40 years ago. What are you talking about?
Right.
How your mama doing? We got to add that to the RIP quote vault. How your mama doing?
Yes.
How your mama doing? How your mama doing, boy?
It is there.
Yeah, man.
Hey, this you know, yes, sir. What's the name of the song? I think it's Can't Stand It. Is that it? By Karen Clark Sheer. Is it Can't? What is the name of this?
Can't Take It No More. We did. Can't Take It No More.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, Praise Festival. Gotta Have a Right, man.
That one of my favorite songs. I didn't even know that was gospel until I just looked it up. I'm saying I thought that was like on a, because that was back in the day. You know, you came on the radio.
It was. It came on the radio.
Yeah, it flipped over. Yeah, it was like, you know, came on like, you know, Midnight Love or something.
No, it's not Midnight Love. Not The Quiet Storm. Not The Secret Garden.
I can't take it no more.
It was back when I was recording with the snakes, putting a little tissue inside of it, you know, trying to.
Oh, yeah. I remember that. Come on, man. I remember all that.
What is your
record off the radio then?
Yeah. you have a lot of hits, man. What is your favorite, man? What is your favorite? What is one of your favorite ones? You just can't think about.
Well, I got to be honest. It was pretty special to get on an NSYNC record. It was their last record. They sold 10 million records. They opened the show when they was touring with the record. So that was a special story for us because the record was done. We were at the Grammys. And our manager went to the after party, church folks went home after the first after party. He went to the after party, and he hung
they
out.
Got lines. They got lines, but they ain't prayer lines. I know what you're talking about.
There you go. So he went to the after party and hung out with Justin Timberlake's manager, right? And so I guess they got drunk enough for him to convince him that they record's not done. He was like, "Man, our record's done." He was like, "Your record ain't done unless you got a record from us." And he was like, "Well, I leave in the morning. So if you can get me a CD of what you're talking about, I'll promise you I'll listen." And wow. So he stumbled from wherever the after party was at, high, drunk, whatever, you know, whatever. He called me, said, "Hey, I need you to wake up. I need you to make a CD." I said, "Right now?" He said, "Yeah, right now, it's 4:30 in the morning. I need you to make a CD and bring it down to the front desk." I said, "I don't have no blank CDs." He said, "I got a blank CD. I'm coming up." So he came up to the room. He said, "Think about NSYNC. We got to get on Justin. We got to win this record. It's our chance to get with Justin Timberlake." I said, "Man, I'm asleep. I don't even know what to put." So I put four songs on the CD. He said, wait. "Where's that other song at?" I said, "The mistake song? That's what we called it. It was a mistake song. And I'll tell you about that in a second." He said, "Yeah, add that to the CD." So I remade the CD. It's five songs on the CD. He took the CD, took it straight to the airport, met Johnny Wright at the airport. He get handed him the actual CD while he was getting on the while before he's getting on the phone. When he's getting going into the airport, by the time he landed, he called Bright back, my manager back, and was like, "Hey, how soon can you guys get to Orlando? I'm gonna fly the group down to Orlando. We're gonna record this song. What song? Number 5 on CD. Number 5 on CD was a mistake song. When I pulled the song up, it all the drums came up as a kick." So the hi-hat, the snare, everything was just a kick sound. So it was
right.
But that's what they loved about it. Crazy, crazy story. Crazy story. That's what they loved about the song. 3 days later, we all flew. Us, me and Jay, manager, and all of NSYNC flew to Orlando. That's because that's their headquarters at the time. And we recorded the song. That's when Justin was dating Britney Spears. So she was in the studio with us and all that. It was crazy. Whole other story. But it ended up on the record. They ended up cutting one of their songs off the record to get that song on the record. And that was their biggest, one of their biggest selling records. And we was just like, wow. All we could do is say, God is amazing. Right? So I don't know if that's a favorite song or not, but that's one of my favorite stories. I got another story where this lady named Vicky Mack of Gospel Centric Records, the one that brought us Gospel Gangsters, Trinity 5-7,
oh, yeah.
Byron Cage, Kirk Carter, Kirk Franklin. All right, and Pajama J Moss. So it was crazy because I'm sitting in her office. I'm giving her the first J Moss project fully done. Bam, here it is. And she's like, "Oh my God, Unto Thee, O Lord, is amazing. Forgive me and this, that. Oh, Living For is such a crazy R&B kind of. Oh my God, I Want to Be is amazing. You brought me PS150. Something's missing." I said, "This is an amazing full done record. You're done. This is it." She was like, "Something's missing." I said, "What's missing?" She said, "I don't know what's missing. That's not my job. My job is to tell you something's missing.
Yeah.
Your job is to go figure out what's missing."
Wow.
And I was like, "Oh my God." I'm in her office in LA. And I'm like, I was like, I was supposed to be there for 3 days. I flew back that night. I flew back, called Jimmy on the phone, like, "Hey, did she like the record?" "She liked the record. She feels like something's missing. What's missing?" "I don't know." So he was like, "Oh my God." So I flew back to Detroit. When I got back to Detroit, the boy met me at the airport with a CD with a melody on it. If I Was a Drummer.
That's it.
If I Was a Rock Dude. Listen, 24 hours later, I got back on the plane, went back out to LA, went in her office and said, "Get everybody in here right now. Get your whole everybody." And she was like, "What?" I said, "Get everybody in here right now. I'll put that record on." It went number one for 28 weeks. That woman was a genius. She's a visionary. I don't know what the heck she was thinking, but she pushed us. And so I don't know if that's my favorite song, but it's one of my favorite stories. You know what I mean?
When you went up there, when you went back to her and you played the song, did you have somebody mime to it? Because I think that's like the most mime.
It's got to be the most mime song in the history of gospel music. Jesus, man. I thank God for the mimers, man, because they kept that song going longer.
They kept y'all going for like 10 years.
Dude, they kept us going for 10 years, dude, on that record. I'm trying to tell you.
You know what?
We must freeze, man.
The Stellars need to have a top gospel mime category.
They need to have a top gospel mime category.
What song you mime to the most?
Yes, man, and we will win.
The Legacy
we will win
award.
We will win that. We will win that award hands down, bro. We will win that mug hands down. I'm trying to tell you,
I saw somebody.
It's so funny because y'all was mentioning kept coming to America, and Yanni Crawley is in that movie, right? So when they showed later on, they showed the little gospel people singing. Mm-hmm. And she was singing "We Must Praise Today" on her Instagram. She tagged me and I was like,
Wow, that's amazing.
Okay, that's cool. I was like, she's like, "I was just thinking about you guys." I'm like, "Well, I heard you was in the movie. I saw a clip of you in the movie." So I thought that was dope, it, man. So shout out to Crawley. Yeah.
So PDA, we're coming up on it, but this is where we get real stupid because nobody watches this show. Nobody watches this at all. So
okay, so, cool. All good.
Since nobody watches this show. Who still owes you money, Doc? Who still owes you money? You go ahead and say it.
Man, Sony is still owed me. You know, Sony owed me a boatload.
Sony owes
me some money, man. Sony.
Hey, you know who owe him money? P. Diddy. P. Diddy owe everybody.
Okay.
P. Diddy owe everybody money, man.
Check this out. Have you ever heard an album and said to yourself, they should have called us.
Yes, absolutely. Several records.
Yeah.
You are you asking me to name them?
No, you ain't got a name. I'm just saying, like, what did you feel and hear?
Okay, yes.
Like, this is outdated. Yeah, like, this is not, you're trying to be something you're not, or you know, we could have captured you better. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, all the time. All the time. Especially artists that we've produced and we haven't, and they're trying to do things on their own. And I'm like, that's why the labels had y'all call us, because that's not working, dude. Or right. A girl or woman or whoever, you know. So yeah, that's happened a whole lot. Man. It's just like, wow, you guys are missing. We could have hooked you up. So, and not in a cocky sense, but when you know you had a nice, you know, vibe together, you know, and it works, you know, you always go, wow, this is you don't seem like you learn anything. So yeah.
I know we're coming up on the close. I think we got 3 more minutes before 10. Real quick, you know, there are probably, I know y'all probably get a million tapes, cassettes, whatever. When you get them.
Jeff, how old are you, man?
I mean, I don't know what they call it now.
Called MP3s, SoundCloud.
Yeah, that.
Y'all say it. Pastor Jeff, I need you to catch up, man. It's cassettes. Look, CDs, records.
Put on that James Cleveland record for Jeff. Put on that James Cleveland 78.
What do you look for when they send them to you, though? If somebody wants to send you something right now and they want to be a hit maker, what would you be looking for?
Something different. Stand out. Do something different. I don't listen. One thing we did, we must praise the kind of, because remember, we talking about Kirk, Dietrich, Smokey Norful, Marvin Sapp, all these different people. What is going to make this song, We Must Pray, stand out from all around? Sing a cappella at the end. Mm-hmm. Wait. We're just going to, I'm going to take all the music out and we're just going to leave the vocal. And it stood out as one of the most celebrated parts of the song. And it was just a simple, like, because even in our success, you know, we still realized we were doing something new because it was J-Mo's first record. So it was new. And so it being new, we wanted to make sure we did something that stood out, you know? And so that's what I tell people, man, you're going to send me something, make sure it stand out. Don't send me stuff. I don't care if it is on a cassette. If that may make me listen to it because it is on a cassette, you know what I mean? Because it's something that stands out. Do something to make yourself stand out, doggone it.
Well, that acapella part, you know, that's the part the mimes kept going on and you wish they would just stop and end the song. They just kept going. And the preachers be sitting up there like, yes. They ready to take the mic. They ready to move on with the service. And they still, just them and Jay. Just them and Jay alone, by themselves.
Okay. It's funny because I was listening to one of the dudes, the gospel radio talk show host, and he was talking about Whitney Houston's song, I Will Always Love You, and how...
Oh, yes.
They wanted her to take that part out, the acapella part in the beginning of it.
Yep.
They wanted her to take that out. She was Whitney. You know, you can't tell Whitney what to do. You know, one of the best selling songs. So I think, like you're right, you got to be special and different.
You got to be different.
What's your relationship with the industry? Since Jeff mentioned the radio hosts. How is that flowing as far as how gospel music gets out? Because one problem that we're having is people aren't hearing new music as much as they used to. The radio is falling by the wayside. In my estimation, streaming regurgitates the same people over and over again. If you're not savvy and how to break out of that Spotify Pandora box, they will play Kirk and Donnie the same four tracks every hour if you don't break out of that, because it's an algorithm. So how do you break when it used to be obviously conventions, you know, the church conventions, you know, you had your concerts, revival circuit type stuff, and then of course radio. How is music getting pushed these days, and is it hurting or helping gospel music? What do you think?
I think that the approach has to be different because everything is different. And so you know, the one thing that most artists don't do is that they don't perform. And so I'm like, yo, you got the greatest opportunity of all time with this technology. Perform. Get in front of your camera and perform. But buy some lights and perform. Get a green screen, whatever it takes. go crazy in front of, you know, go crazy with your music, go crazy. And if you're good, and if you're standing out, if you're not duplicating what someone else is doing, somebody's going to pay attention to it. And the age old process always works. Word of mouth will never die. Never die. Never die. So with the technology, it just speeds up the process because it's all on the net.
So let me tap into that. Let me tap into that just a little bit, Pastor Jeff, if you don't mind, before we jump off of here. Now, I mentioned earlier, I've been in this concert circuit for a while now. We've done some names at my church. We brought in Vashon. We brought in Marvin Sapp. We brought in William Murphy.
Israel.
Terrell's brought in Israel. Yeah, we brought in Israel twice. Okay. One of the things I'm struggling with, we're pretty good church. We can pay, you know, we can make it, but we're not like we got Jake's money. And I'm noticing that not as many people are accessible so that they can promote themselves, you know. They're not as accessible, like touring out, willing to kind of play ball with the mid-sized joints. We're not big, but we're mid-sized. So, like, our people don't get to know them because that word of mouth isn't happening.
Right.
And what's your feeling on that? I know you're on the production side, but, you know, I'd be like, look, if you would just, I know who I've worked with. I might not have Jake's money, and who knows if Jake's even gives you all that because the exposure that you're getting. But if you would come and give us a chance and make it, because I know how that works. You know, I know that we get the, you don't know who I am, so you're giving me that big rider and that big, you know, I need this and I need that, I'm like, but you actually might be constricting your impact and your outreach by not playing ball with more of the mid-sized churches and being out there to kind of tour around in an affordable way for everybody to, you know, get something. What do you think about that sort of word of mouth, church tour, that whole deal?
Listen, we launched a label, We had a new distribution set up back in 2014 for the second time. And we were like, so how do we promote it? We rented an RV and did a whole regional tour. Like we did Chicago all the way around the Indiana area, to Ohio area, all the way around to Pennsylvania area and back to Detroit. Right. And so, and we did as many, we just pulled up, jumped out the RV, went in, bam, got back on the RV, went to the next joint, bam. And so, the deal is, man, these people don't want to pay dues. It just goes back to what we talked about in the first place. You got to do when you're trying to blow up, as they say, you got to do whatever you can do. Mid-sized, little storefront, it doesn't matter. You know, I came up playing a keyboard for singing vocals for a quartet group. We did six services on six different churches on one Sunday because it was just like boom, 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 boom. And we grew quickly in our city because we were like always hitting somewhere, and we grew in regional and then we grew national. And so it's the same idea, man. You gotta be able to pay dues. You gotta do it. If you're not doing it, you're giving yourself a disservice. And then that's why a lot of these artists aren't really breaking through and not becoming a household name. And therefore we're losing everything. We were losing our radio stations, our TV shows and everything.
And I tell you, from my experience, Jeff is in this world with me. We're that Midwestern city, that steel town. Most of our people still ain't like hitting the digital stuff. They're still, you know, if they don't say they've seen somebody somewhere, which again, I always joke, even with some artists in my area, you know, that are younger coming up. I'm like, look, the 60 and up crowd, the ones that got the ticket money, Doc, you know, the 60 and up crowd, they're the ones that got the retirement money. So at least
got the old
school joint. Yeah, do a little old school joint. Make sure you give a shout out, you know, don't dog them out. Yeah. The young ones, we hype it up, then we play all your music for free on YouTube. You know, that's what we do, you know.
But
the old ones will fill up that auditorium, though. You know, they're the ones that'll fill up that auditorium or support and buy that. You know, they're still going to Walmart trying to get the CD. But that's the balance the church has to wrestle with, that we're still skewed higher, even though new sounds are coming in, and we just have to be cognizant that there's a way to approach that market while we're hitting the old side. Jeff, you want to throw anything else out? I'm going to do our second ad and bring in Big Mike.
That was just great, man. Thank you so much, man. We appreciate you, man. Hey, man. Hey, everybody, give it up. Give it up.
Give it up.
We do this ad, man. Give it up, man.
Give it up for Paul, PDA Island, the Pajam family.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You know what we're about to say. You know, every time you run into somebody, you're going to have to begin and stay in touch, Doc. I'm about to have you at the church, Doc.
People will see you at the flea market.
Absolutely, man.
You'll be at the OBGYN with your wife. Hey, Doc, I got to bring you in with the I got a revival coming up, Doc.
Awesome. Crazy. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yes. Handing you flyers and stuff. Yeah, man. Yeah. Absolutely.
Club cards.
Absolutely. Yeah, man. Check it absolutely. Out,
y'all. The Phillips Care yes, family of businesses. Phillips Care family of businesses are our sponsors for this month. Phillips Care Cleaning, I already mentioned, but they also run Phillips Care Training. And Jeff and I have already established that neither of us are signing up for this because he will kill you. But you should get this. You should take advantage of Phillips Care Training run by Fernando's brother, Mike Phillips. And y'all all know Mike, hometown hero. He made it big, went and played for Pitt University, came back home, started a training business, and he now owns High Street Fitness in Cortland, Ohio. We want you to check him out. You can hit up High Street Fitness on Facebook, or you can call Mike at 984-7632. If you're in the 330, you already know what it is. If you're not, area code is 330. But we are grateful for the Phillips Care family of businesses, two brothers making it happen in our region. And if you'd like to be a sponsor, you are more than welcome to come and be a sponsor. Let us promote you to our audience and continue to build our community through economics, through this excellent podcast that is pretty much the number one rated podcast in the world, just because I said it. And it's fake news, so you can say whatever you want these days. But that's how it is. Let's bring in Big Mike to close us out. Come on, Mike. Let's holler at Paul and shut it down, bro. What's happening with you?
Fellas, great show. Great show. PDA, my man.
Thank you, man.
Again, I really, really appreciate you coming on, man. Like I said, we're...
Hey, man. Thanks for having me, man. Thanks for having me, guys. This is fun. Yeah. It's great.
Good, good, good. Hey, spread the word, bro, because we're going to be hitting your partners up in a little bit. So spread the word, man. Okay. You know what I'm saying? real quick, yes, I have two questions for you that I'll let you go. First question.
Okay, no problem. My baby stays up just past her bedtime, so she's a little bit, you know. Okay. It's all good, man. Y'all bear with my little baby, man. All right, go ahead, my man.
Yep. I am a Justin Timberlake fan. I know a lot of people talk about the cultural appropriation and all of that. But I think Justin and Timberland is a great combination. They do well together. How is it working with Justin Timberlake?
Justin Timberlake is probably one of the greatest. And I say that not just because he's Justin, but because he's a true professional. He's going to give you what he's got, you know, and it's cool. You know, if you're in a room, and that's the thing with the secular side versus the gospel side. If you're in a room, or in the studio, or in the building, if someone says, "Yeah, you with this person, that person," it's all good. Everybody's cool. Everybody's all love. It's like mutual respect, mutual everything. It's like if someone told you that we should do your song, hey, you must be the man. So let's do it. And it's cool and it's fun and it's great. He's very creative. He had a lot of input. It was funny because when we did the group, everyone was in the studio at the same time. They all came in and did their parts and they were gone before the next person came. And so when Justin came, he was the one to wrap it up. And
oh,
you got a little freeze there, Doc.
Yeah, I knew it was coming. I'm going to take you about bringing back in. Hold on 1 second.
You got a little freeze there, Paul. See if we can get you back.
Well, he froze up.
Paul, we're sorry, man. Well, Justin Timberlake is awesome. That's the moral of the story. Is Justin Timberlake is awesome.
That's what it sounded like.
I got a problem with Justin. I was going to tell him. I got
What's a problem with Justin?
Well, I tried to bring sexy back and my wife is pregnant. So
you shouldn't have been playing them cassettes. You shouldn't have been playing all them cassettes. Hey.
I was trying to bring sexy back, man.
Oh, you brought it back. You brought it all the way back. Back to the quiet storm. All right, I think Paul's back.
All right.
My bad, man. I don't know.
All right.
You good, man.
You good.
We're talking about Justin bringing his party in. He was the last one bringing his party in.
Yeah. Creatively, man. He was just like down for like, you know, what we were doing. And, you know, I'm just like, dude, we got to do this again. So. You know, hopefully some of these future projects he's got going on, we're going to, you know, stay tuned. So that's it.
Yeah. I have to admit, though, I didn't like Man in the Woods. I wasn't feeling that one. It was a couple that was okay.
Me either. But, you know, hey, everything's not a hit, man. You know, it is what it is.
Exactly.
Everybody has a flop.
My last,
like, hey, that's one of those records where I was like, dude, why do you just call
me? Should have called me.
Right. Okay, my last question. Yep. What in the industry needs to change? Both gospel and secular, you can kind of put them together. You can separate them however you feel. But what in the industry needs to change?
Gospel. Gospel needs to find its voice in terms of just creatively and distinctively again. You know, no disrespect to anybody. I say this with humbly, but when you listen to the radio, it's like one run. It's like one run on song with different leaders that jumps in and, you know, tag the song, you know, and so what we have to do is we got to do a better job at who's running radio, who's running the labels, who's running these independent labels. If you're independent, it's cool, but you got to have the funding to keep up. If you don't have the funding to keep up, stop listening to the hoopla of like, you don't need to have a label or be on a label. You do need that financial support because that's how all the greats did it.
Right.
And until you can be great, you got to be able to get some kind of funding. Otherwise, you're selling yourself short. And so from a gospel standpoint, funding is a very, very key thing. And secular and pop, and you know, the pop and R&B world and the rap world is moving on, leaving gospel behind, actually. You know, that's the one thing that I'm just like, we make too many excuses in the gospel arena. Well, it's different now. It's all streaming. Well, guess what? It's the same for them too, and they making it work, and they still selling records as well as they're streaming. People still buying rap records and rap singles, just like they streaming it. You know what I mean? And gospel, stop making excuses for the mediocre, right? Stop bringing that. Stop making everything so mediocre. Putting everything on the same playing field. Right. You gotta raise the bar. Put somebody so other people can try to strive to be that, and then raise that person and strive to be that, and so forth. So.
Love it.
Yeah, man.
Good.
I love it, man.
That's all I got, fellas. Hey, real quick, though, I do want you to point at some of them plaques up there behind you.
Okay.
Who we got?
This one right here with this wide one is Kelly Price. We did a song called You Should Have Told Me. You Should Have Told Me. I wasn't small enough and all of that. That was like, that was a number one song for her on that record. Went double platinum. So that's on there. Destiny's Child's last record. Wait a minute. Which way am I pointing?
Somewhere.
That way. Destiny's Child. That record is their last record together, and it was like 5 million records, and then like 10 worldwide. Wow. In the middle is Cisco, and to the side of that is Aaliyah. Tyrese is somewhere. That wild gospel is important over there. That wild gospel is important because that's when gospel records were going platinum.
Yeah,
really platinum, like selling a million records, right? So that one's important. That was important. This and then Sync one's up there. There's a Cisco one up there. There's a Drew Hill one up there. There's a Waiting to Exhale soundtrack. There's a Rush Hour 2 side. Yeah, man. So
my man.
You all on the map, Doc. You all over the map.
Yeah, it's a little bit of everything, man.
Before we leave, man, I was watching Kevin Hart, and he was talking to Steve Harvey. Kevin Hart said, man, he said, Steve Harvey was asking about all his stuff to be done. He said, listen, I got some bad stuff,
yeah,
and I got some good stuff.
Yeah.
But the fact that remains is I got some stuff.
I got some stuff.
We want to thank you for all your stuff, man.
Thank you, man. I appreciate all your stuff. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Appreciate it, man.
Yes, sir.
Hang tight real quick, Paul. We want to remind everybody that this was our special edition First Sunday with Paul PDA Allen. We hope you enjoyed having this discussion, hearing us chop it up, sharing your crazy comments. We didn't see some of your comments. Some of y'all ain't saved. You're going to have to get blocked. But, you know, but the rest of y'all saints, you're doing all right. Next week, we got the interviewer of the stars, this young fella. I've been watching him. He started with nothing but a cell phone. This young little brother of mine in the ministry, he's a minister. He started with a cell phone, and now he has interviewed stars like Tommy Davidson, Sinbad. He just grinds.
Lamar Odom,
Tyrese. He started from Youngstown, Ohio, and I'm not joking about the cell phone because he was calling me like, "Yo, how I hook up a mic to this and how I do this." And now this dude is on Instagram, views are through the roof. He's doing great. We want y'all to join us next week as we welcome Chris Gunther from the Chris Gunther Show, Religiously Incorrect. He's doing big things. And not only do we reach out to brothers like Paul Allen that have been there and done that, but we also talk to brothers who are on their way somewhere. And we want to encourage them. So we're going to interview the interviewer. So y'all check it out next week, March 14th, 9 p.m. Same bat time, same bat channel. To everybody for watching, thank
you. Is we giving a t-shirt away?
Yeah, who's getting a t-shirt?
Yes, two of them.
We giving two?
I think Jameson Bryan been on it, man.
We gotta drop Jameson.
You gotta send me a t-shirt or something. Hey, what's up, man? Let me buy all of it. Let's go.
You know what? My vote's for Pastor Tatum. We need to send one to Brooklyn. We need to send one over.
Send one to Brooklyn. That's right. Yes, sir.
Pastor Tatum and
Jameson Bryant.
Yeah, no.
We sending one to Paul PDA. He gonna rock it on their next time they do a video. He gonna be rocking that Religiously Incorrect. Pushing that brand.
I'll do it.
Pushing that sexy back.
right. Hey, I'm gonna call Jay and try to get him to the church. And as soon as he walk in, I'm gonna say, "How your mama doing?"
There you go, man. That's classic. See, you got it. You got it, man.
Thank y'all for joining us. Y'all come back. Be sure to like, share, visit our website. Yeah. We love y'all. Take care. Mike, take us out with the groove. What's up?
I got to shout out my wife, Keisha. I got to shout out Kendall, my baby. I got to shout out L-Dub. That's Jay Moss's church. He's celebrating 4 years this weekend.
Praise
four
God.
4 years he's been pastoring. I got to shout out Northridge Church. I got a whole, I got my mama. I got to shout out my mama.
How your mama doing? Shout your mama. Shout your mama doing?
Yes, sir. That's it, man. Y'all make sure y'all reach out to me at PDA_Pajam. PDA_Pajam.
You got it, bro.
All right.
Thank you.
All right, before we go, PDA, if you don't mind, man, hang out backstage so the show is over. Just want to holler at you real quick.
Cool.
And, we'll go from there. All right, y'all. Peace. Till next week.
Good. Drop it. Thanks, guys.